Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
This year, why not let Audible expand your life by listening? Explore over 1 million audiobooks, podcasts, and exclusive Audible originals that'll inspire and motivate you. Tap into your well-being with advice and insights from leading professionals and experts on better health, relationships, career, finance, investing, and more. Maybe you want to kick a bad habit or start a good one. Or maybe you realize it's time to start prioritizing your own happiness. If so, might I recommend Mel Robbins' latest, The Let Them Theory, narrated by Mel herself. It teaches you how to stop wasting energy on what you can't control and start focusing on what truly matters. You. Listening on Audible can help you reach the goals you set for yourself. Start listening today at audible.com.uk.
I would define reclaiming as to take back what was yours. Something you possess is lost or stolen, and ultimately you triumph in finding it again. Listen to Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all the crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie, that's the gorgeous and talented Ben Mandelker over there on the other screen. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie, how's it going?
Great. How you doing today?
Great. It's like a drizzly, rainy day here in LA, which is so fun and relaxing. I went and got myself a bagel and a coffee, and I'm just having a very chill morning. What's going on with you?
It's not drizzly at all. It's beautiful over here in Texas.
Yeah, I can see.
Look how sunny it is. Your freedoms, but hey, the sun's out, so I guess that's all that really matters. It's the end of the day. Everyone, welcome to the show.
Sun's out and truly guns are out. Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to shoot the sun. Son can't decide what is going to be on his passport. I'm going to shoot it. Everybody, welcome to the show. We are on tour. We're going out again tomorrow. We're so excited. Seriously, though,
yeah,
because we're going to have some fun times. We're going to be in Cincinnati, where we will be recapping Sommerhausen. Then, after Cincinnati, guess where we're going to go? Minneapolis. And there, we're going to recap Southern Charm. And in Toronto, we're going to be covering the classic Real Housewives of New York episode, December, Berkshire's County.
I cook, I cleaned, I made it nice.
That's season 8, episode 9, for any of those of you following along. So we're excited to see you guys over there. Get your tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com. We're also going to be, after that, in Atlanta, Washington, Philly, Boston, Detroit, Chicago, Austin, Dallas, and Las Vegas. We're going to add a couple more dates, so check back over at watchwhatcrappens.com for tickets and links. Also, if you want videos or traders recaps, or now, next week, we're going to be moving into other recaps of other things. Probably next week, we're going to be having airport snaps, which is where we go to airports and judge the fuck out of people sitting in a corner while we record on our iPhones. So probably the next couple of weeks, we'll have some good old-fashioned airport snaps over on our Patreon. And that's also where you get the videos, which we're on right now. If you want videos and you don't want to pay for Patreon, you can get them a week later for free over at YouTube. Okay. Nailed it.
Yeah. Did a great job.
Suck that landing. Ow.
It was immersive.
I've got my legs crossed on this like little ottoman thing I got from the Homo Goods, and I'm too old to maybe cross my legs like that. How am I?
Did you just pull a muscle on your ottoman?
I Tonya Harding'd myself.
Oh, no. Not with the ottoman.
Or not now there's a new Tonya Harding, that girl who beat somebody over the head with a baton. Did you read that?
Did not read that. Who was that? Is she on Bravo?
No, it's just, she should be. I hope she's on Bravo soon. They were running. She's, I guess, a track person. And she had her baton. And then someone was passing her. And she bonked her on the head with her baton.
Good for her.
And now she's crying like, why isn't anybody thinking about how I feel? Could you bonk somebody on the head with a baton?
Yeah, it's not part of the relay race. We look forward to seeing you on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. bonk Chrishell on the knees or whatever. Get it. But I feel bad for the girl because she didn't even get her own like Tonya Harding name. I still don't know her name. Everybody just calls her the new Tonya Harding. And I'm like, that's so sad. I mean, she even upped her game. She bonked somebody on the head with a baton. That's better.
Damn. Like, that sucks. Like if you're, thing. Man, you know, even Hawk Tua got her own name. It doesn't even make sense. But like this person can't even, what'd you say?
That makes sense.
I mean, it makes sense, but I'm saying like as a name, like her name is Hawk Tua. At least this girl could be known as Batonarella.
Yeah, give her something. She earned it.
Come on, we could do it. Like the lift is so low. Like we were so lazy with naming Hawk Tua that at the very least we can give this aggressive relay racer some sort of fun moniker. That's what I'm saying. I'm advocating.
I agree.
For this. Yeah.
I agree. Batonarella. I mean, I don't know. Okay. So here we are with, speaking of bonking over the people over the heads for no reason, let's go on to a Housewives recap. Today is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills season 14, episode 15.
14, 15.
Trouble in Paradise.
Sequences.
By the way, just before we start this, Dorit was on Watch What Happens Live last night with Gabby and Dylan. And I don't care. I still can't hate Dylan. I think he's so cute. Like, I don't care.
He is cute.
I didn't like his last scene in The Traitors, but he's so cute and nice. Like, I still like him. And yeah. Dorit was so depressed. Dorit is just miserable. And I guess I don't blame her. I'm like, she's poor now, like, for real. And PK won't speak to her and stuff. And she can't, I guess, afford her stylist because she was dressed kind of like a Christmas present. I don't know. It was really sad. She was very sad.
Well, you know, you have her. You know, you've got some people who are able to sniff out some traitors, and you have someone who was married to one for a long time and still didn't even realize. So, yeah, I'd be depressed, too. You're like, it could have been me. But we love that Dylan Efron. And by the way, his girlfriend is a big Bravo fan, apparently. I read that in like one of the many articles that's going around. And she's a big Bravo fan. So we love that he supports Bravo indirectly. I guess that she told him to ally with Sierra. I think I read that fleeting headline. Of course, I couldn't really be bothered to read much more than that because I'm like, you know, there's nothing else I really need to know. I just need to look at Dylan, see his abs, see his sweet smile, and try to push down and repress the knowledge that he hates showers. And then I'm fine.
Yeah. So let's start with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It's a big home visit episode, which I liked. Mm. Everyone goes to each other's house and stuff. So we're at Erica's house, and Dorit comes, and she's like, oh, my God. Erica, did you knock down walls? You've got trees in your home. So many boulders. It's paper, Dorit.
Ew, that's so nice. You know, Erica really, I feel like she shot her design load because we haven't even gone on the vacation yet, at least at this point in the episode, and she's already wrapped up her entire storyline for the season. It's like, did someone not tell her that there's still like four more episodes to go? So unless the show ends on vacation. In fact, that's probably what it is. This is going to be another season that ends on vacation, which is now becoming a more frequent thing, because if it weren't ending on vacation, I feel like we would have had a wrap up of the design thing after vacation. But this is honestly the stupidest theory that I could be launching right now. Guys, let's stop the entire podcast to debate where the season's going to end.
Like, what could have happened? Maybe there was a lot of stuff that was cut out of, you know, our favorite guy who was like, Erica, I need to discuss with you. Should we do palm trees or bushes? I'm thinking maybe just bush.
I ain't doing no bush. I haven't done bush since the 90s. Palm trees only.
And then there's like a big fight and stuff. It takes place in a fresh and easy.
I got you some wallpaper that's completely made of Nepalese yak penis. Enjoy.
My theory is that this season will end on vacation based on the fact that they wrapped up Erica's interior design journey pre-vacation. That is my theory. And if I'm wrong, then I will make amends to the audience.
Okay. Well, everybody write that down in a notebook somewhere.
Please do.
Come back and check.
Please hold me accountable. So Dorit comes over, makes a lot of her cat noises. Someone sent me an interview. It was like one of the after shows. She and Bose. Bose makes her adorable little noises too. She made an amazing one this episode that I rewound three times because it sounded like she was literally a video game character getting a one up.
Yeah. She does. So, need little sound effects from the Bose arsenal.
I know. I think I'm gonna have to start recording those because the one from this week was sensational.
She did a good Scooby Goo one when she was talking to Kyle. She went.
Yeah, that was the one. She goes, because she leaned forward. But Dorit and Bose were doing an after show, and Bose was talking, and Dorit was just chiming in with her weird dolphin noises. Because Bose was like, and then I went with Keely, and we went and we got McDonald's one time, and we got a happy meal, and they said, you look like a happy couple. And she's in the background, you just hear Dorit going,
and then Dorit.
PK won't even call me back.
just the sound effects ladies together in an interview.
It's like when a police car has to get through traffic, so it does a little baby thing to be like,
Erica lights a candle the second she comes over to the house. I think Erica's house smells like farts. There, I said it. Because I don't trust anybody who lights a candle the second I come over. You know, open a window, fart outside, like we do in my home.
Unless it's Hanukkah.
So, unless you're what?
Unless it's Hanukkah, naturally.
You can't open windows at Hanukkah? Is that a thing?
No, I'm saying Hanukkah is a big candle lighting holiday for my people.
Oh, I was like, wow, you guys have a lot of laws.
And no so opening the windows lot. On this day.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Well, actually, no. We, as a Jewish people, on Passover, we actually open full-fledged doors for Elijah to come in. So, we are definitely...
How's he supposed to knock? What's he supposed to knock on the open door? Elijah's whole thing is knocking, right?
Elijah has a real sense of propriety at the Seder and just comes in. The other thing... Growing up, I had a cat named Elijah, and so and Elijah was an outdoor cat. And for some reason, Elijah was a she, but her name was Elijah. And of course, on Passover, the biggest gag we do every year, we'd open the door for Elijah, and then Elijah the cat would walk in, and everyone would go, "Oh, it's Elijah!"
That's funny.
God, I love a visual gag.
I had a roommate in New York who changed her name to Elijah. She had another name, but she's like, I'm going to go by Elijah now. And we're like, okay. And so whenever she would come home and forget her keys, we would make her sit there and knock. We're like, well, you shouldn't have changed your name.
What if it was a vampire?
Names have meanings, okay?
Don't vampires have to knock before they come in?
You have to be invited in if you're a vampire.
Which is so funny. You're going to literally suck someone's blood and kill them, but suddenly you're like, but I need to follow manners.
You don't have to be invited to murder me just to come in. Just to come in.
It's I would like to murder you, but I do have certain lines. Murder is okay, but coming in uninvited, not okay.
Yeah, I respect the space. I respect your personal space before I murder you.
I brought a gift so that way you could invite me in. No? Okay.
So Erica is like, would you like some water? Oh, Jesus Christ. You started with a fart candle and now you're leading up to water. Why even come to Erica's house? What's here? Wallpaper.
She spent a lot of money on that wallpaper in Martin Lawrence Boulard. Okay.
Apparently.
It's just water now.
So Dorit just walks through squealing and squeaking and pretending she's not in a room as big as her closet. And she's like, well, I don't know. The last time I saw Erica this happy, it's like she's radiating happiness. The house is incredible. Juju transformation. It's literally perfect for her. It looks like she's sleeping outside, which she probably will be one day. So perfect planning.
Well, I got us some coffee cake and some cookies. Oh, you're so sweet. I won't eat any of those.
So then Bose shows up and
I take back what I said about the water. You're giving me cookie and coffee cake. Okay, I take it back, fart candle.
I really wanted to know where the coffee cake and the cookies were from. Because Erica has a lot.
You think it's Erica.
I was about to say, Erica has a lot of options in her neighborhood. And I was ready to judge. I was trying to see what the box was. I was I want to see what bakery she's pulling from, because I will have a lot to say depending on her choices. This could be a redemption moment for her, but it could also be, it could go wrong real quick.
You mean which galletaria? Because you know that shit was Food for Less from Western. Okay. By the way, I miss you, Food for Less. That's on gone. Western.
I know, it's gone.
It is?
Oh, yeah. It's been bulldozed and it's turning into a whole big tall thing.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
And the McDonald's is gone, too. That was right there. That used to be where I would reliably get a McFlurry. Yeah.
Wow.
Because, you know, those are usually broken.
Yeah, they're always broken. Yeah. Now they're dead. So, you know, Bose comes in and she's like, ooh! She just kind of looks around. And then she doesn't really say much about the house. She's just like, well, this is not necessarily a housewarming gift. This is a St. Lucia gift. TM. I've trademarked St. Lucia.
And Dorit's like, ah! So then we go back, flashback, and to the fashion show, and Bose was like, I have been inspired by Sutton's call for all of us to bond, so I thought we will all go to St. Lucia. So everyone cheers. And now so now Dorit is holding up a peach. And a peach. No, she's not holding up a peach. She's holding up a one-piece bathing suit that is the color of a peach. But knowing her, she's probably holding up a peach. Like, I found a soccer ball. So then Erica.
I could never be a woman. I looked at that thing. It looked like, it looked like the pasta that Denise Richards tried to make in the Denise Richards episode after this, yeah. Where she wouldn't rest the dough. She's like, just pretend the dough's rested. And instead of resting it, she just started putting it through the machine. So it was all these holes. I mean, I could not. Who looks at that and is like, you know what? I can wear that. I just can't do that. I can't do what I wish. I mean, someday.
Listen, whatever. I support it. I just don't know who has the vision for that. Because, like, it honestly did look like the discards from the fabric after I cut some pieces out to sew something. And you have all these weird shapes left over. So they're like, oh, we'll make this into a bathing suit. Sure. So Erica's like, well, that is beautiful. That color is really fucking good. That's a fucking great color. Okay, relax, Erica. It's a peach bikini. So then Bo's like, literally, for every single person. Blip. So Bose says, obviously this woman do not know how to plan a girl's trip without any kind of drama. And luckily for them, I invented girl's trips and I marketed them at Netflix. And I believe they deserve a trip that is about fun and the sun and having good time. And to that I say, oh, blip.
So she's like, I know how to plan a trip, so anything that goes wrong is these girls' fault, not my fault. Ha ha! So Dorit is just staring at her swimsuit bottoms with her mouth open, and I think she doesn't like them because they're very big bottoms for some reason. I don't know. She's looking at them like she doesn't really like it, but you know what? Beggars can't be choosers, so she's going to take it.
And Bose says, it's going to be a fashion show out there, a real fashion show. And they're all like, oh! She goes, oh, I didn't even mean to say it that way. It just came out. And Dorit's like, oh, shit. That was funny. That was a burn, sister girlfriend.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
In the 1980s, a rosé swept the country.
Hey, Mike, I really like this white Zinfandel.
Well, good, good. Now put it down. We're going to try another one.
White Zin became America's top-selling wine. But most don't know that this sweet drink has a sour history. What began in 1986 with counterfeit bottles.
A big fraud, a multi-million-dollar fraud.
Sent investigators chasing one of the most powerful families in the business, the Lichardis. But the closer the feds got to them, the more dangerous things became. It's a story of deceit.
At the time, I was paranoid.
Threats.
You touch my kids, I will kill you.
And murder.
With a .22 caliber bullet to the head.
What started with a scheme to mislabel wine spilled into a blood-soaked battle for succession. Welcome to Bloodvines. You can binge listen to Bloodvines exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.
At 24, I lost my narrative, or rather it was stolen from me. And the Monica Lewinsky that my friends and family knew was usurped by false narratives, callous jokes, and politics. I would define reclaiming as to take back what was yours. Something you possess is lost or stolen, and ultimately you triumph in finding it again. So I think listeners can expect me to be chatting with folks, both recognizable and unrecognizable names, about the way that people have navigated roads to triumph. My hope is that people will finish an episode of Reclaiming and feel like they filled their tank up. They connected with the people that I'm talking to and leave with maybe some nuggets that help them feel a little more hopeful.
Follow Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Reclaiming early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Imagine this. You help your little brother land a great job abroad. But when he arrives, the job doesn't exist. Instead, he's trapped in a heavily guarded compound, forced to sit at a computer and scam innocent victims, all while armed guards stand by with shoot-to-kill orders. Scam Factory, the explosive new true crime podcast from Wondery, exposes a multi-billion dollar criminal empire operating in plain sight. Told through one family's harrowing account of sleepless nights, desperate phone calls, and dangerous rescue attempts, Scam Factory reveals a brutal truth. The only way out is to scam their way out. Follow Scam Factory on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Scam Factory early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So then we go to Sutton's house, and Sutton is standing in front of her cutting board, slicing a cucumber, and saying, these are great cucumbers.
God, I love
Which is probably something that gets said a lot in Bel Air.
It's that moment where you're just trying to convince yourself not to eat a tub of ice cream. Like, cucumbers. God, these are just so crisp.
I love my choice. I love my choice for right now.
I can eat whatever I choose, and I choose this. Being thin tastes better than thin tastes. What is it? Oh, God, I can't think. Give me the fucking ice cream.
And she says, how many do I have to eat, Waylon? Pavlov has nothing on me, because Waylon's her dog. So Garcelle shows up, and they say hi and everything. And Garcelle's like, well, I don't know if you saw the rags. Oh, do you mean the bathing suits that Bose has sent us? No, I meant the gossip rags. They're saying that Kathy is fashion roadkill. And then we see headlines that say, talk about the fashion show where Kathy was on the runway last week and got crashed into by a model.
Well, hey, she got Sutton some press. I mean, that's probably better than Sutton would have done alone for that weird fashion show. But, you know, the press does say roadkill on it. So I don't really know who's winning. I don't know that anybody's really winning this one. And so we see the headlines, and we see wacky clips of Kathy walking out. She's in a big butterfly outfit in her. They cut to her, and she's just laughing. She's like, oh, I only have the best intentions. Hilarious. And she's wearing this butterfly outfit. And then we cut to Sutton sitting in her kitchen, which has a big, colorful metal butterfly in the background.
What does it mean?
Butterfly kisses. So Garcelle is like, well, did you see Dorit? Did you talk to her last night? Well, I said hello. I mean, we said hello. Well, what else do you want from me? Okay, that's it. That's fine. Let's just put the Dorit and Sutton situation on ice. Oh, like your lunch? Hey, stop making those jokes.
And this is non-drunk Sutton, so she just doesn't understand why anybody would think that she ever had a problem. She's like, can we just not? Let's just not talk about it. Her eyes don't slit into the evil, satanic look that they get. So they're gossiping, and Garcelle's like, oh, I forgot to tell you. When I had dinner with her, I said to her, what's your beef? And she's like, you think I have beef with Sutton? And I said, well, it's not one-sided, is it? And so then we cut to Erica, and Dorit's talking about it, too. And she's like, well, I had dinner with Garcelle. And she said, Dorit, stop mentioning the drinking thing. You know she's sensitive about it. And I said, first of all, I welcomed her. Yeah, but you still made fun of her drinking thing, which she's sensitive about. Answer the question.
And you welcomed her after making her sit down there for 40 minutes. So Erica's like, well, I gotta say something. Okay, I gotta stop you right now. I was like, oh, here, we all know what's coming next.
You said something about the drinking and her having this reaction about her business? Well, I'm sorry, because what about what was done to me?
I was like, oh, God, Erica. Jeez, the what Erica. About me argument once again.
Okay, Erica, call me when Sutton is in like 10 lawsuits about tens of millions of dollars of stolen money and, you know, throwing people in jail, which they didn't even bring up. Your lucky ass is lucky they didn't bring up that Marco thing of throwing those guys in jail because you couldn't pay your bill and lied and used one of Tom's best friends to get him thrown in. And then get so wasted on pills and booze that they're falling over and falling asleep on boats. Okay, call me when that happens, Erica.
What about me? What about me, Erica Jane? Who feels more pain than Erica Jane?
It is the old Jen Shaw defense.
What about me? It is. And I'll tell you who feels more pain than Erica Jane. Anyone with ears that are subjected to your songs, okay? It hurts. That said, I'm really kind of liking Erica this year for the most part.
No, she's doing a great job.
Denise Richards. Yeah.
Erica going through the ringer of this whole Tom Girardi case has actually made her a better housewife because I think that she's just given herself over to being like, oh, fuck it. I tried so hard to sort of have this whole image and I got torn to shreds anyway. So whatever, I'll just say whatever I want.
Yeah, so that's what I say. People are always saying, you know, Real Housewives ruins these women's lives. I don't know about anybody would go on. I think sometimes, you know, as the butterfly keeps appearing on this show, on this episode, I think a lot of times Housewives helps them because it breaks them down. It just breaks them down and then they come out a better person, you know, because Erica was a true asshole before all of that happened. And I think she's better, you know, better now.
I do think she's a better housewife now. I mean, it's actually, I was thinking about this morning for no good reason, but I was like, you know, Erica is just much more knowable now. I think she makes more sense now. I think she was super, super guarded. She's always been a guarded person, but now she's a little bit more like, oh, fuck you all, you know? And so like, yeah, she has this checkered past, whatever, but it has made her, I think, more emotionally accessible. Like we understand what her vibe is now. It's not just like she's quote unquote ice queen who like you don't see anything in her life. She's just now like a little bit more, I just think there's more layers to her now.
Well, her shtick used to be, I don't give a fuck. Remember? It's like, I don't give a fuck. That was her thing.
She gave the most
fuck. And now she doesn't give a fuck. Yeah.
Exactly.
Before she actually gave more of a fuck than anybody. But now she actually doesn't because she's been traumatized. So I would just like to send a thank you note to trauma. Because, you know, you really work miracles. You're an artist, trauma.
Yeah. You're an artist. You're welcome, Erica. We got you to, like, as in the audience, we got you to where you are right now. So you're welcome.
So she says, okay, look, Sutton and Garcelle cut me no breaks when I was going through the lowest point in my life. They had no problem talking about these lawsuits and medication and drinking and all these alleged things. And we see a shot of Sutton and Garcelle confronting Erica. I'm like, well, the difference is, though, they gave you shit about your drinking because you cursed out Garcelle's 15-year-old son.
Yeah.
So Garcelle was like, you got to pay attention to your drinking and your medication because you just cursed out my son and that wasn't cool. So yeah, they had something to say about it.
But
it wasn't,
of course, they're
out of vacuum.
Yeah, they're leaving.
Yeah, it's not like Erica messed up a Starbucks order and they're like, well, we need to talk about your medications. This was the repercussion of something that really pissed off Garcelle.
Yeah,
she's like, those girls cut me no breaks.
You want to talk about cutting breaks?
Look what I did to Tom. Ask Tom how I cut breaks.
Tom, just a cut to Tom's car, like twirling over and over a cliff.
I know, Tom's Jaguar going down the side of the cliff. It's so funny that that's part of like the lore. Isn't that it's so funny what makes it into Bravo lore and the fact that like the story of Tom crashing over the side of a
cliff.
Of a mountainside, a cliff in Pasadena. It's just so bizarre.
So Erica's like, oh, now all of a sudden Sutton wants sympathy because someone said something about her.
So now back to present. So, So Erica's like, listen, Garcelle consistently defends that behavior. But you know what? You guys have consistently covered up for Kyle for so many years. So, you know, people wind up taking sides sometimes just in reaction to the fact that someone else already has a side. You know, it's like, oh, you guys are a clique. So therefore, I have to be in a clique with Sutton. And because now I'm in a clique with Sutton, I am going to defend her because it's like the Jets and the Sharks. And that's just what you have to do.
Yeah. So she's like, well, I had a conversation and Garcelle defended herself. And I said, you look at her behavior with rose-tinted glasses. And then we go back to Sutton's home and Garcelle's like, I said you can keep joking about the same thing and you know she gets upset about, but it's not going to work out, you know. And she says, well, she can joke about it. And she goes, well, she can joke about being an alcoholic because she's the alcoholic, but you can't joke about it.
Wait a minute, I do not joke about being I'm not an alcoholic. What you saying?
Oh, just calm down. All right, I'm trying to be on your side here.
I'm going to have to ask you to finish chewing before you speak because I have cucumber all over my blouse now. So then I said to her, Dorit, I have a question for you. And I'll tell you right now, the answer ahead of time is no. But anyway, if Sutton gave you a Kelly bag, would everything be over? And actually, she said yes.
Of course she would. Of course she would say that.
So then we cut back to the other house, and Bose is like, well, it's hypocritical when they say that I defend Reed all the time. I mean, hello, you're over here kikiing with your bestie. And yeah, Erica's like, yeah, for years, if that makes it worse. I mean, doesn't that make it better if you're going to just blindly defend somebody and it's a friend for years? That makes more sense than blindly defending somebody you met 5 minutes ago.
But. Yeah. And again, you know, Erica has been the biggest defender of Kyle and Dorit, and they've also defended her blindly. So it's just hilarious. I would say it's rich coming from them, but obviously it's not quite rich.
Not this group, but all that said, I do agree that they both kiss up to their friends' ass. Like, they both kiss up to their friends and defend them too much, you know?
It's kind of nice
to see Sutton just have to fend for herself and Dorit to have to fend for herself.
It's true. But, you know, like, when you have your favorite housewife and you just defend them even when they're wrong, and you just know they're wrong, but you're like, but it's my favorite, so I'm just going to defend. And I
whatever
think that's what
do you
here.
Mean, Ben?
Because you're just, it's more like, yeah, I see the flaw in my favorite, but the person who is attacking my favorite is annoying me so much that I'm willing to take the stance just because that way I don't give that person a win.
Yeah. So, no, look, I know that I feel the same way. I am going to put in my will that on my gravestone, I want it to say Lisa Rinna started Puppygate. Lisa Rinna called the press. Okay.
So anyway, Erica is saying, yeah, that Garcelle's been doing this for years. And Bo's like, wait. When we go to St. Lucia, you know I'm working on the room assignments. And you already know the three of us are together. Bloop, 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 bloop. And they're like, oh, yeah, we got a villa. So, you know, I think everyone was expecting that Boaz was going to say something like, oh, I'm putting you, Dorit, with Sutton so you can mend it. So she's like, no, we are going to be the cool kids. So
I think Erica's just
thrilled.
So glad she gets maid service again. She's like, oh, thank God.
I held the broom again today. It was so difficult. Why does nobody think about me?
So Garcelle, meanwhile, is talking. We go back there, and she's like, so, Dorit and I spoke about Kyle. Oh, did you? Finally, good gossip. She goes, yeah, and the whole mo of it all. M-O, not M-A-U. I refuse to say M-A-U. Oh, good, me too. I don't like that either. You know, they were acting like besties. Besties last night, by the way, Dorit and Kyle. How disgusting. Set up a whole season of them feuding, and then they're already buried the hatchet before we even got to our cast trip. It's just not right.
Yeah, it looks like they made up. It's like, oh, they had more than made up. They were rolling on the couches together like they used to. I mean, disgusting. And Garcelle's like, yeah, I think that Kyle and Dorit having a beef, like Sutton loves that because then it makes Sutton able to be closer to Kyle. And really all Sutton cares about is being close to Kyle. Why?
Yeah,
I don't know.
For no good reason. No good reason. She's just a huge Halloween fan, maybe. Well, Dorit, obviously, it feels like, you know, obviously feels for her like we all do. We all feel this way. Dorit feels for Kyle like we all do. And it sucks to see her photos with your ex making out with some child. I mean, sorry, not a child, teenager. Anyway, so, yeah, we feel bad for Kyle. And we're also quietly laughing on the inside. Let's be honest.
But we also talked about seeing Kyle at Morgan's concert. Dun, 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 flashback a week earlier. We see Kyle standing at Morgan Wade's concert. Dun, dun, dun. Was it revenge? Or was it just straight up horniness? So we come back and Garcelle's like, well, I mean, it's just wild. We can talk about Mo and his incident. And yet we see Kyle hanging out with Morgan at a concert with her name tattooed all over her. And we're not supposed to say anything. Nothing. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Also, no. So she says, Sutton is definitely scared of Kyle. Although she says she doesn't bow down. She bows down. And I think it's interesting that we can all talk about Mo and we can't talk about Morgan. We can't say, how's the concert? I didn't know you were going. How come you're not in the audience like everyone else? Why were you touching her vagina while she was singing that song?
Well, you know what? I think the introduction to the topic is, you know, here's how you do it. Okay, here's how you do all Augusta-like. You say, look, hey, We saw you had a great weekend in the press at Morgan's concert. Was that the lesbianatronic festival that was happening down there?
Was there a scissoring festival that you guys were excited in? I mean, what was happening?
I didn't know. I didn't know Lilith Fair was back.
So Sutton's like, don't even say that. You know what? Let's just introduce it and see what she'll say.
I love that they're so messy. They're like, let's confront Kyle about Morgan again.
Kyle's they're also like, you're not allowed to ask. Everybody in the LGBTQ plus gay community knows that you're not supposed to ask people about going to concerts. You can't do that.
I love how they're like, what is the most indirect, subtle way we can confront Kyle? So
order her some oysters and send her a box of scissors as a gift and see if she's battling her up.
Book her a ticket at the Hotel Indigo and then say, we'll just be there with our girls and see if she connects the dots. Mm-hmm. So Sutton's like, well, I don't want to make her angry, which is funny when Sutton says that because she kind of lives to make people angry. So then we go to Kyle's home and she's talking to her housekeeper in Spanish and she's asking things, you know, she's
doing white lady Spanish. She's like, eso, hay muchos, pero más eso, pero lo haciendo lunes para cinco días. And the lady's like, oh, por favor, güera, por favor.
She's basically bossing her around about kombucha. She's like, we don't need this many kombuchas because I'm going out of town. Oh, do you want some extra kombuchas? So
it's so hard being in a house where you don't really know how to regulate kombucha anymore.
So Bo's arrived. There's a knock on the door. The doorbell rings, and Kyle goes to the door. And then she orders her housekeeper to help with the dogs. How about you help with the dogs? How about you get those things trained? I mean, like, it's been years of Kyle. That door opens, and the pandemonium that breaks loose in that household with those dogs running crazy.
You don't have a dog. You know, it's very difficult. You don't understand what comes over a dog when they see somebody at the door or hear the doorbell ring. I mean, that is everything. And the dog's just trying to help you. They're coming to get you. Kill them. It's like her Girl dogs. Scout standing out there with my cookies. Like, do you know who you're barking at? Stop terrorizing the person who's going to let me binge for the next weekend.
Now, listen, if there's anything I'm aware of, it's the fact that dogs go berserk when a front door is open. Like, that's like my nightmare. The worst is you ring the doorbell, you already hear the dogs barking, and I'm like, oh, God. But Kyle's dogs are more than that. Every time that front door opens, it is like they are making their prison escape. They are darting for the road. They are trying to, trying to get to Tarzana. Okay. So it's always, it's like a sprint. It's like a gunshot goes off and they are the ones holding the batons, bonking each other on the heads because they want to go. I mean, every single time, geez.
Meanwhile, her cleaning lady is like holding 7 bottles of kombucha. Like, what does this bitch want from me?
I know.
Like, I can't do everything.
Throw the kombucha at the dogs. Get the...
So she gives her the gift, and then they walk into the office, and she's like, oh, what a pretty room. And she's like, Marta, Jesse, puedes traer dos vasos de agua? And she's like, wow, you speak Spanish? She goes, well, yeah, I grew up speaking Spanish, because, like, you know, when you're living in L.A., that's how you boss people around. So, and then after that, my husband was Mexican. Unfortunately, all I could say to his family at first was, please get me some water and move this fucking kombucha over before I sue you.
Lo siento, that was a big word for me. So Kyle's like, also side note, I appreciate your text when that photo came out and you sent that text, like, thank you so much for sending that text. He's like, well, look, I'm the kind of friend, I'm ready for war. It's just sort of like your dogs when that door opens up. And it took everything for me not to get into my car and drive over here. And then I thought to myself, do I really want to drive to Encino right now just for Kyle Richards? And I said no. So that was about it.
So Bose is like, well, she said I didn't get to know her, so now I'm trying to get to know her, and here's what I know. Streets. Lots and lots of streets. Make it worth it. So Kyle's like, well, you know, like, we see a flashback of Kyle saying, I feel like I was signaled out because you, like, got to know Doree, and then you said you didn't have preconceived ideas, but your actions say otherwise. Your ideas are preconceptos.
So I think this is the perfect opportunity to get to open up to each other and get to know each other. So, and by that, I mean, you're going to talk about yourself. And then when I realize that you're not asking me a single question, I may volunteer some information about my life. Okay, let's start this.
Kyle looks so shocked when she actually
happens to listen to something somebody else said. She's like, oh.
I know. Kyle is like, oh, I have the floor. Okay, let me take this. So Kyle starts doing this. Well, when I first met you, I mean, Mauricio had just moved out. And Bose is like, oh, I see. Bose is like in full therapist mode. And, well, I just feel like I'm going to get really emotional right now because I'm finally getting to have my scene because Tariq kind of stole my storyline this year. It was supposed to be my storyline because I kind of like soft launched it at the end of last season. So I thought this was going to be my moment. And it's like Hershey took it. So I'm kind of like, I haven't been able to cry like this yet. Anyway, I don't know why I could feel like I could feel it was coming. Like, I don't want to do that right now, but like, I just want to be able to explain in the most open and honest hashtag. I trademarked that way. And I just want to get to know what I just want you to get to know me and explain everything because like the way we did it, I don't know. We were kind of like the best divorce couple of all time. And like, we were going to be on the couple of the Unknot magazine. And like, now I don't know if we can be because like, he's kissing some skank in Mykonos. I don't know. It's like a lot for me right now.
Oh, Kyle. I almost fell for the trap of feeling for Kyle because I was kind of feeling for him. Like, yeah, that must really suck to see your ex making out with someone. But then I remembered that he also knows what it's like to see your wife making out with some younger woman. Kyle
getting tattoos of her
and then her saying that she wants a separation, and then now she's like, and then he left, and I just like, what, like, what did he, why would he leave? She's like, finally has said he's gonna move out. Like, it was just so strange. Like, I was like, it's really happening. I was like, yeah, because you told him you wanted to separate. Like, what do you, Kyle?
Yeah, I did actually feel bad for her. Even I went through the exact same journey where it's like, oh, you know, that sucks. Like, you've been with someone for 25 years. Like, I literally could not imagine if this is something that happened like with Dom. And so I'm like, oh God, that would break my heart. So I felt for her. But then I was also thinking like, this is so Kyle, because it's, you know, it's like, what about all the Morgan Wade stuff, you know? So anyway, Bose is like, well, this is a real sad story, but I have sort of a funny, not really funny, maybe morbid, but here's my story since you didn't ask.
So she's like, Peter, yeah, I'm really sorry about your husband leaving you. Mine died. Kyle's like, oh. I know, she's, Kyle just looks at her like, oh, wow.
Something you may have known if you'd ever asked me a single question this entire season. I mean, we're on episode 15, goddammit. Anyway, so Peter died and Layla was 4 and we'd been separated before he got sick, and I was afraid to ask him for a divorce because, you know, he's sick. And then I didn't want him to be mad at me, but we were separated, and they started seeing this other bitch, and she came in there. I walked into the hospital room, and she was kissing his forehead, and I was like, everyone out. I lost my mind. Get this bitch out of here.
Yeah, this was interesting. I don't think I remember that they were separated before they got divorced.
I didn't know that either.
They separated. He got cancer, and then he, you know, this is fucking men, I'm telling you. Still get a girlfriend, you know? Men will still get a goddamn girlfriend, I'll tell you. Men do it. What can I tell you? Especially in that town, like rich men, you know?
Yeah.
So he got a girlfriend. Bose says when he saw her like rubbing his bald head in the thing. She's like, yeah. I mean, I hated the guy, but still, get the fuck away from my man.
Exactly. And so so she tells this whole story, and Kyle just goes, wow. Do you have any follow-up questions, Kyle? Do you want to know more about this situation?
I think Kyle was, that's what I'm saying, when Kyle was like legitimately shocked, because she's used to just not listening to people, but Bose kind of caught her off guard because she's so businesslike, you know, and Kyle was actually listening and was like, wow, I mean, damn it, she trumped me. How am I going to trump this?
But Kyle's also like, yeah, she's like, well, I still had some more points I wanted to make about Mauricio being in an airport in Mykonos, but you kind of played the my husband died of cancer and also was seeing another woman at the same time thing. So I don't really know how to pivot back to my scene. So then she just goes back. She goes, you know, obviously I didn't love seeing that. Like, he feels bad enough as it is. And I know he feels horrible, but like, I know him well enough to know that. I'm like, okay, Kyle, we'll just go right back to Mauricio in the airport.
Yeah.
After Bose just told this story, you know?
Yeah. The struggling with the feelings of somebody that you love moving on, even though they're about to die. And where does that leave you? Kyle's like, but the paparazzi, right? I mean, okay, wait. Did paparazzi shoot pictures of this lady rubbing your dad's husband bald head? Okay. I win. Still winning. Okay, let's go back to my story now.
So
she's telling her, you know, he feels bad because he knows it hurt me and it hurt the girls. And it's like, okay, well, when are you all supposed to move on? Now, hold on. I'm going to actually eat something, which you don't see on the show. I'm going to eat a carrot. Answer me.
Oh, yeah, I did notice that. She, like, leaned all the way over for that. You know, she thought, I'm just going to do this discreetly. I'm sure they won't put it on the show. And they're like, get her reaching for that character. She was like, So, by the way, I think it's so strange that Kyle keeps on going out of her way to say, I know that Mauricio would never want to hurt me. And so he probably did not have any idea there was a photographer there. I can't say the same for that bitch.
Yeah.
Like
a woman, as usual.
What the fuck?
Kyle's always on the men's team.
But I mean, I think that part of it is that she is trying to protect her kids a little bit there. She doesn't want us to sow discord in her own family. But like, it's kind of like, just why are you even mentioning it then? I just think it's like shady that she's totally absolving Mauricio. I mean, what part of Mauricio wearing like a million beads and puka necklaces says that this guy is not going through a midlife crisis and being as petty as possible? I mean, yeah, I think it's totally viable that he knew about the photographer.
Yeah, I mean, I think it doesn't even matter because you left him, Kyle. That's it. That's what happens when you say get out. Now, is it deserved? Probably. He's probably cheated on you a million times. I'm not saying it's not deserved, but I don't like the whole blaming the woman thing. Like, you don't know that chick. Leave her alone. Mm-hmm. She sees a rich man that she's dating in an airport and she's making out with him. Like, you go, girl. Get your bag. Get your bag. Yeah. But Kyle coming on national television and insinuating every single week that this is just some dirty slut who's trying to hurt her children. It's like, oh, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Just, well, I mean, he wouldn't want to hurt me in any way or our girls. Well, when are you supposed to move on? She's like, well, we're separated and we're not divorced and like we haven't filed for divorce. So how long do you think you can do that for? Or really, what I'm trying to say is, it's been a long time you've been talking about this bullshit, so it's either should or get off the pot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Have I mentioned cancer yet? And she's like, yeah, well, you know, the photo changed things, I guess. And it's just the photo. It changed things. Is that what you're saying? And she's like, yeah, I mean, I have to have a conversation, you know, like, I mean, oh God, I mean, it gives me permission, right? The photo. And she goes, hold on a minute. All right, go ahead.
So this is going to be the first time that you see him see each other since he's been in Europe.
Kyle's like, would you like to join us? She's like, I would, actually.
She's just sitting over there making all these noises. And finally, Kyle just starts having to crack up. She's like, oh, my God. I know. This lady's hilarious. Hello there. This is a two-part recap, okay? This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Catherine DiBernardo has our hardo.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
Dana C. Dana Do.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call, it's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no less namey.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Hava Nagila Weber.
We could all learn from Jennifer Kearns.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Rigging the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches. Bitches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's got a leg up, it's Beth Ani.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifah.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She gets an A, it's Kelly B.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible, edible Matthew Sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.